At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. It's been 6 months since a gunman shot and killed 26 people in a small-town Texas church. It's been 3 months since 17 people died in a mass shooting at a Florida high school. And today, it was another school a half hour southeast of Houston.
I was thinking it was going to happen eventually. It happens. It's been happening everywhere. I was ready to run out, but my teacher told me to hide instead, so that's what I did.
That's Paige Curry, age 17. She's talking about what happened this morning at her school, Santa Fe High in Galveston County. One student is in custody, 10 victims are dead, and 10 others are injured. Throughout the day, students shared their stories and politicians responded to the news.
Once again, Texas has seen the face of evil. What happened this morning here in Santa Fe defies words.
We were all standing outside in the back. And then the teacher started, you know, freaking out. They were saying, you know, back up. And then Mr. Vaughn said, run. So everybody took off. I heard three shots, and then I grabbed her. We ran to the trees over here to get out of, you know, sight. And then I called my mom, and I heard four more shots. So we came to this car wash over here. And
if you're a parent and you own guns, lock your guns safely away. Your children should not be able, or anyone else, to get your legally owned guns. It's a serious issue. It's one big step that we can take.
Then all of a sudden, I hear a pop, and they're pushing us closer to the back fence. Well, then a coach comes, or a teacher comes, and starts yelling at us, run, run. So we're running across the highway, and then we just had to keep running, and then we went to Indian Automotive, and they hit us there for a while.
We need to do more than just pray for the victims and their families. It's time in Texas that we take action to step up and make sure this tragedy is never repeated ever again in the history of the state of Texas.
That was Governor Greg Abbott, and before him, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, Senator Ted Cruz, and Santa Fe High School students Tyler Turner and Presley Loomis. The governor said the accused shooter, a 17-year-old football player named Dimitrios Pogortsis, used a shotgun and revolver that his father owned. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Texas Standard investigative reporter Alon Stevens about the rules for buying guns here.
In the state of Texas, you have to be 18 or older to purchase a long arm. That's a rifle or a shotgun. And then 21 or older to purchase a handgun. And again, that comes from buying a gun at a federally firearms licensed dealer, which, you know, has to abide by the law. When it comes to adolescents who are under that age, you know, one of the things that is mentioned is that the secondary market is completely unregulated, that you can do these person-to-person transactions for firearms, and typically the impetus is placed on the purchaser, whether they should know or not whether they are legally allowed to own a firearm. Another thing is that, you know, America has a lot of guns. The South accounts for a disproportionate amount of stolen guns. We just have guns around. So in a lot of cases, guns are borrowed, guns are taken from someone who can own them, and they're used in crimes without their knowledge.
That's Alon Stevens of Texas Standard talking today on Think. You can find the podcast at think.kera.org. Conductor Jaap van Zweden transformed the Dallas Symphony over the past decade. Now he's leaving to run the New York Philharmonic. In today's State of the Arts conversation, KERA's Jerome Weeks sat down with van Zweden in the conductor's office for some final reflections as he prepares for his last concerts as music director, performing Beethoven's Ninth.
You're facing your last few weeks with the DSO. If the Philharmonic had not come calling, what would you be planning to do?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that was never my plan to leave the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. Although I think that a certain amount of time is very healthy. And then if the situation is like this, that you still have a love affair, it is possible that you stay. But normally 10 years is a wonderful time to be together with an orchestra. And then it is healthy to move on.
One of the things that you said when you came here you wanted to do was to give the DSO a rigorous background in the German-Austrian canon from Mozart to Wagner, and you've certainly done that. What do you think you can bring to the New York Philharmonic that it needs?
I think that the New York Philharmonic is an orchestra which is completely all-around, but there are certain things. I would like to
underline in the future. I think that composers like Haydn, Mozart, were not so much in the spotlights there. And also to be a chameleon as an orchestra, to switch from very contemporary and new music into Bach, that's where we can make maybe some steps. And at least I would like to introduce a different way of playing that, especially the Bach. That's a very technical thing, you know. And for the rest, it's going to be easier to tell you in a few years what we accomplished than predicted.
I have to ask, you're inheriting the podium of Toscanini, of Mahler, of Bernstein, major figures in 20th century music.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you in the 21st century?
Well, it means that those people were champions for new music. But before Dallas, I was the music director of a radio orchestra in Europe. And one of the highlights always was for me the new pieces, because if we are not going to have new music, we are going to die. And, you know, the privilege to work with composers who are still alive, it is very inspiring. Coming back to the New York Philharmonic with new music, I think that that's one of the very big attractions for me.
Looking back on your 10 years here, what is it you're most proud of and what is it you'll remember best?
I think that, you know, the warmth of the DSO family and the hardcore people around the orchestra, I'm going to miss tremendously. I'm going to miss my audience here. We have a phenomenal audience. It is an audience which I got very close to, and that is not so normal. But I always opened the green room whenever it was possible. And, you know, when I came in 10 years ago, Dallas was an incredible sports town. But you could also feel a shift a little bit into a real arts town. And if you see what happened here with the musea, with the new buildings, with the fantastic opera house, all this incredible input from individuals, I think that Dallas is still an incredible sports town, but culturally, it's absolutely national and international on the map. And I'm really proud of that. And that is not only because I came here, but also the enormous input of everybody who recognized the wonderful quality of what is happening in this town.
Jaap van Zweden, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next weekend, Jaap van Zweden ends his tenure with Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Details are at artandseek.org. It was a big day in sports and a hot one for the golfers playing their second round at the AT&T Byron Nelson Tournament in South Dallas. Australian Mark Leishman apparently loved the 97-degree heat. He's in the lead at 15 under par. He and hometown favorite Jordan Spieth were on the course early today. Spieth moved up the leaderboard and is tied for 19th place at 7 under par. Gary Molloy was out following the action this morning. He says the only thing the new Trinity Forest Golf Course is missing is shade.
I like it. Looks real pretty. I mean, the green and everything looks real nice, but just no trees and the heat, that's not good. Yeah. Makes it real tough out here.
Looks to be tough all weekend. Tonight, cloudy skies, a slight chance of showers with a low around 71, but tomorrow should be sunny and hot with high in the lower 90s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Looks to be a low around 73. At 6:30, this is KERA News.